Hey guys, before you dig into episode 4 of Podcast Lost in Space, I just wanted to once again give a shout out to Peter Scott for his wonderful intro and outro music, and Matthew Yeager for his awesome, awesome banner and podcast art. Anyway, that's it. Thanks. Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of Podcast Lost in Space. We're a little different crew this time because Ryan's out of town visiting his girlfriend, and I have no idea what Seneca's up to. She just couldn't make it. So, let's get started. We're going to have our guest introduce himself.
I know. I'm saying hi. How's it going, guys? My name's Joe. I pretty much do nothing. I just stream video games on Twitch. That's pretty much all I do anymore.
Sounds like a pretty good life to me. If you...
yeah, kind of.
I wouldn't mind that.
It's not a living, I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. Well, I feel like I specifically work to have more money to spend on video games. That's explicitly how my life kind of works.
I'm getting to that stage. I got to get the full-time job to get to that stage. I'm working on that right now.
Yeah. Are you back in Redmond?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
And then we've got Alyssa, who was absent last week.
Yay! Hi, I'm back. Do I have to keep introducing myself?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
I will be doing more blog stuff. You'll see me mostly on the podcast, though. Probably in, like, pop culture, and I'm kind of the outside person here. I'm not really into the whole video game scene, so I feel like I have a fresh perspective on life. I'm Alexander's little sister, and I'm currently a college student, so...
And then the one without the webcam, the one and only, Doc.
Yeah, no intro needed, because everyone knows who I am. Except Joey, apparently. Yeah,
nice
nothing long needed like Alyssa.
And last but not least, it's me. I'm Alexander. I'm the one who founded all this crazy stuff and now yell at people to make sure they actually do their work, which was the subject of a really rather long blog post that went up today, or on Thursday. About Podcast Lost in Space. Mm-hmm. And before we get any further, I want to send a quick thank you, shout out to Peter Scott for our music that was part of the podcast. And Matthew, is it Yeager or Jagger?
Yeah, it's Yeager, as in like his descendants are going to invent the giant robots that defend us from the interdimensional beings.
Like Jaeger bombs, you know how it is.
Or that.
That too, yes.
That's where I was going with it.
For our wonderful...
Alyssa's got it. I'm glad you're learning things in college.
I am.
So
I've actually yet to go out. So.
All right, let's start with the question we always have. How was your week? Alyssa, how was your last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I know. I've been gone. So I guess last weekend I was busy with sorority recruitment or rush. And that was super exhausting. I had no clue how exhausting it would be. I was go nonstop. But I'm in Kappa Delta, so that's a yay. Shout out to Kappa Deltas out there. And then this week now is homecoming week. So I have stuff now with my sorority. We have homecoming parade on Friday. And then also I started running cameras for NDSU athletics. So they live stream all different volleyball games, soccer games, everything. So now I'm a camera lady for that. So that's really cool. It's entertaining because it's all basically student run except for a couple staff who kind of help run it. But, so that's new. And I just got back from shooting at a soccer game for the newspaper doing my sports photography. And, I'm thinking about quitting my job, well, changing jobs because I work at a coffee shop right now. And it's horrible because it's super slow and boring. And I'm missing my culinary stuff. I'm a pastry chef, for those who don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, can we talk about how bad you're making me look to the rest of the family? You're younger than me. Your grades are better than me. You do more in school than I do. And you're going to get a double major.
I also like her more.
My sister was a college and high school 4-0.
Yeah.
You can't all talk over each other. You guys need to pay attention to each other.
Almost went to college for soccer as well. So I totally get you, man. I totally get you. Little sisters were born to make us look bad.
All right, what were we going to say, Doc?
I was going to say, I even like her more than you, and I've known her less time. I firmly believe that she probably has more friends than
you. Yeah, we're rated explicit. I can do this.
Depending on the day, I like her more than you do.
Also, this is kind of like my future career or whatever. I started looking at internships and looking at working abroad instead of studying abroad, which is really interesting. I didn't know you could do that because I'm doing an international studies major as well. And so I have to go abroad for 10 weeks, which is cool. But I made, you know, like when you go and you go to apply for a job or like you go to their website and then you can make your own like profile account on there that saves your information. So I did that for one of the PR firms back in Seattle. And then they also have offices in all around the world, but in Brussels, and then their headquarters is in the UK. So it's kind of a company I'm looking to have a future with. So that was exciting. So
I don't like you. Doc, how was your week?
My week was good. The noticeable changes I did to the website is helping getting the graphic design set up so we have a proper banner that wasn't done in MS Paint. So big shout out to my friend Matthew Yeager. Anyone interested in looking for his help in any other graphic design, go to myeagerdesign.com or follow him on Twitter at @TheSeattleOne. One spelled out, so O-N-E. And then, working with him. And then I went and saw my friend Ben, who is a drummer for the band Kings of Cavalier. I saw them perform on Friday night, and they're amazing. They're like a hard rock band, kind of like a groove rock. They really have a unique sound, so it's kind of hard to define like what kind of genre they are. But they are really good. Like, I've been going to their shows for a while, and they're getting better with each performance, and the crowds are getting way more into it. So I also wanted to do a shout-out to them and promote their next show coming up October 25th. At Lo-Fi here in Seattle. I think it's Lo-Fi, however, or Lo-Fi, L-O-F-I.
I think it's Lo-Fi.
Lo-Fi, yeah. So just plug that into your favorite search engine, and then you'll be able to come check them out on October 25th. They're awesome band. Great bunch of guys. They love to hang out after the show and chat with people, too. Other than that, I've started going down the rabbit hole of playing horror video games since it is
October.
Yeah, I started off with Alien Isolation, so I just finished that one out. And now I'm going into Evil Within, and then I also have Outlast prepared. So I'm looking to just scare the crap out of myself and guarantee that I get, like, horrible amounts of sleep. Like, just not being able to sleep.
Sounds healthy.
I really must recommend that you try Until Dawn. I was watching my friend stream it the other day for the first time. Like, if you play it blind, so I don't know if you've ever played like Life is Strange or the Telltale Walking Deads or anything like that. But think But think like that, where it's the whole butterfly effect thing, but your butterfly effects could get people killed in very gruesome ways.
Absolutely. So, I saw trailers for that. I prefer to go in cold when I'm playing a video game.
Absolutely.
Especially with a game like this, where it's all about decision making and everything like that. I am pumped to get that one. I'm going to borrow that from a friend of mine, and I'll probably have a review for it on a future episode of a podcast. So
sounds good. All right. And before we neglect our guests, Joey, how was your week?
My week was interesting. Well, okay, I guess the last part of the week wasn't very interesting, but I did get back from TwitchCon last weekend. I went with a bunch of buddies to San Francisco because that's the one thing I do is I stream on Twitch. But it was kind of cool. I met a lot of big streamers that, you know, I look up to. I follow, I subscribe, all that sort of thing. Went to the after party, which was really a glorified Deadmau5 concert, which I'm totally okay with because Deadmau5 was there. And so was Darude, by the way. We got to hear Sandstorm played live. So other than that, I've just been, just applying for full-time positions and things like that. So nothing too fancy. I might have an in with a couple of banks as a personal banker because my degree's in finance, but we'll see.
Cool. Nice. And I guess for me, I've been getting the hang of going to school, and doing my homework early, being responsible for, as a student for the first time ever, while also working as a nanny, which has been interesting. A lot of fun, a lot of responsibility.
As someone who's already graduated college, I am now at a point where I'm starting to think back in ways that I should have been better at being a student, because I was a terrible student. I was awful. I was thrown out, wouldn't focus, and do whatever. And I live just off the SPU campus, and I'll hang out at the student union building, and all my friends that are still in college will come and hang out with me while I'm just working on my laptop and doing things like that. And I started thinking, I was like, man, I really should have been standing up in the back of the class, because for how active I am all the time, whenever I'm stagnant, I just get tired. And I kind of blame that for me always just not focusing in class. But if I were, it's like having a standing desk. If I were just standing, kind of like forcing myself to kind of move a little bit, I felt like I could have been a better student.
Interesting. Yeah, my big thing is I'm actually doing class reading rather than just skating without having to do it. And part of that's history classes, I actually have to do the reading, as opposed to anthropology classes where I could kind of bullshit my way through it. And then the other side of it is, and this is actually really weird, is that I'm actually talking to other people in my class and getting to know people between before and after class.
You're interacting with people socially? Yeah. When did you do
this? Mind you,
same look, just like, what?
I get to interact now with all the adults in the class, and we're all like, oh, those freshmen. Oh, those high school running start kids. But part of that also is my classes are really easy. It's all 100 level courses. So I need to do something to entertain myself. And I'm getting writing done while my teachers are talking, and I don't actually have to listen because I read the book and I understand all the crap that they're about to teach me.
I need to get better at actually reading my comm class textbooks, because I'm pretty good about art history and anthropology, because anthropology questions come straight out of the book in sections. But I never read my comm class. And I had all my tests in spread of 2 weeks, and I didn't study for one of them, and I managed to get a 76%. But I knew I did. I didn't do good, but I knew I didn't fail. And then when I went on to see my score, I just laughed because I was just no. But I got extra credit on my anthropology test. I got a 96 on my art history test, which was.
You're gonna bring your grade down, though. You're gonna bring it down.
I know, it's not 100%.
Careful, you're almost in A-minus territory, though.
I know, it's horrible. But I also found out that I'm pretty set on my international studies major, which is pretty cool. But then I found out that I'm probably gonna have to take a couple semesters of more than 15 credits.
It's easy.
I know, but I have a 3 billion jobs and.
Well, you actually do things.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Cool. That was our weeks. Something that I thought was interesting, and we didn't notice until it was the day of. Apparently, September 30th is International Podcast Day.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Enthusiasm, everybody.
I got their Twitter account to retweet our episode 3 podcast link, so there was that. And then another thing that we did, which was really weird, was that my dad sent me a link and goes, just listen to the first 2 minutes of this podcast. And honestly, I don't remember what the podcast was. I kind of forgot. And apparently, in our name, he helped us by having us sponsor a podcast. So we got mentioned on a few podcasts.
Nice.
There's a few more coming, apparently.
All right, you should really look up the names.
I am right now. It's the Young Lifestyle Entrepreneur. Okay.
The Young Lifestyle Entrepreneur.
Episode 4.
I'll listen to it. Do they talk about the wild and crazy funny guy who has a stagnant image on his thing all the time?
He briefly mentioned us and was like, yeah, they're funny and interesting. And I'm like, I'll take it.
I like to make a point. Doc, I have no clue how to yo-yo, so there's no way I could have been at an underground yo-yo competition. So, if you'd like to teach me, I could try.
Hey Alyssa, good cover. I know it's sworn to secrecy. Way to play, play the fool on that one.
I don't think I've ever used a yo-yo in my life, so.
I have. They're really fun to throw at people.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure Alex has thrown them at me before.
I'm pretty sure you've thrown them at me.
Do you guys want to hear a bit of a story that involves a yo-yo and the TV show, what is it, Stanley Superhumans?
Okay.
Because I got a pretty good story. Because my brother graduated with a degree in exercise science. He is, at the time he was, I don't remember what company he was working for. But whatever it is, they were doing kind of like an analysis of like athletic movements. And doing all sorts of like studying of like how force is generated through the body or that through like baseball swings or whatever, or how people get like stronger jumps, any kind of like force analysis, anything like that. So Stanley Superhumans asked his company to help them record images and motions for a guy who's crazy good at yo-yos. And so there's an episode where they're like talking to my brother, like, oh yeah, he's like, he's definitely controlling the force and doing all this, and he's allowing the momentum to go through and doing all these crazy tricks. And then in real life, my brother's like, yeah, that's kind of bullshit. They're just like, can you kind of like prose it up and make it boring? And it's like, because if they asked him, it's like, so what do you think about like what he's doing? He's like, it's a fucking yo-yo. Who cares? It's a goddamn yo-yo. And then they're like, no, but yeah, you got to like make it interesting for the audience. He's like, do I have to? Seriously?
See, so, that's my future job, is I'm going to be telling people to make it interesting for the audience as a PR.
I thought your job was going to be to make it interesting.
And three times as much as the people actually making it interesting.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. I guess we're going to kind of fly through some of these because we've got some big topics sitting a little later on that list. Since Ryan's not here, I had to step in and do a recipe check-in. And I decided to cook what was called a steak and vegetable casserole, but I'm pretty sure casseroles have to have binding agents that actually bind it into a mix.
You made a soup, didn't you?
No, I ended up boiling steak and veggies in a interesting little broth, and then putting it in, like and put it in a casserole dish to boil it instead of boiling it.
You would never mind.
No, I followed the recipe.
It wouldn't be called boiling it. Did you put it in the oven?
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
So it would boil or broil? Not broil unless you did it on super high heat.
Yeah.
It'd be like baking or roasting.
It came from the family textbook.
The Bible.
Yes, the family Bible.
The family Bible.
The cooking Bible.
It was a steak and potatoes casserole, sorry.
I think you guys are pronouncing it wrong. It is a bibli.
There we go.
That's what you mean.
And really, I didn't like it when it came out because it made the steak kind of tough.
Really?
Well, because you boiled steak. Baked steak. Sorry. And so it was tender, but it was the fibery tender, where it came apart easy, but it was still really fibery.
I hate
that because it gets stuck between my teeth. But everybody else I fed loved it. Only problem was I didn't realize it was a 3-hour-long recipe. And so by the end of it, Taylor and Chase were coming downstairs. I'm like, feed me. I need food. And I'm like, you've got 20 minutes left, and it's like 30 minutes left on the timer.
I miss cooking.
So I tried that. Nothing poisoned anybody, you know, and I didn't ever actually follow any of the measurements that are on there. I was just like, yep, splashes of this.
So you didn't follow the recipe?
I followed it, kind of.
The ingredient list you followed.
You referred to it once in a while, but you didn't really follow it.
Yep, more or less.
So did you fully immerge the steak and stuff in water, or was it like light amount of liquid?
No, because there was... So I browned the steak really quick and layered it.
Yeah.
And then it on sliced onion, sliced carrot, sliced green pepper, kind of layered. And then I cut up a bunch of potatoes, sliced a bunch of potatoes, and layered them on the very top.
Okay.
Or actually, before I put the potatoes on, I made a little beef broth, tomato sauce, like tomato juice kind of mixture.
Yeah.
Dumped it in there with everything else, kind of as the seasoning with Worcester sauce. It's on the website. But and then put the potatoes on top and then covered it, put it in the oven for, 2 hours?
So, by definition, a casserole is a kind of stew or side dish that is cooked slowly in an oven. So, technically, you did make a casserole. So, book is correct.
We know Taylor's watching this again because she's telling me she did not love it. It was mediocre. Chase really liked it, but I think Chase will eat anything.
It's kind of that the sauce you put with it, or it's not really a sauce, but yeah, it's kind of weird.
It was a weird mix. But hey, it fed us.
Mm-hmm. Food.
It's not something I'll try again, which is disappointing because I wanted a new potato and steak recipe.
I am not yet sick of dorm food, so that's a yay.
It's only week three.
It's been a week.
No, I've been here. You guys, I've been here. This is the fifth week? Sixth week? I'm going into the sixth week.
Oh.
Yeah, just wait until
you're that long. Are you semester school? Are you semester schedule?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah, you started like 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, I had delicious freaking bratwursts in the dining center. They were so good. And I think it's because it's like Oktoberfest time. And we have a Harry Potter feast, too. So that's fun.
I think it's weird that you're saying that, you know, you're on week eight or whatever. I'm just thinking to myself how fast time flies when you're kind of just waiting on everything else to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, people are like, yeah, we're already halfway through the semester of school.
You're like,
and, you know, me having not in school, I'm like, wasn't it July, like, yesterday? Like, hello?
Although, the Harry Potter feast, that's really interesting. I want to run off that for a bit. Because, like, that's really nerdy, but completely, utterly normal for everybody, almost everybody I know about our age and younger, who, and everybody grew up on Harry Potter. Like, nobody's afraid of showing their love for Potter?
Yeah. No. Everybody, like, either you don't like it, but, like, pretty much everybody likes, I feel like, Harry Potter for the most part. Or, like, at somewhat, and everybody knows what it is, too. And
you think
so
you could confidently say Harry Potter is our generation's Star Wars?
No.
No. Well,
not quite. The Avengers is our generation's Star Wars.
I would say Harry Potter is more of our Lord of the Rings. Than our
but
Star
Lord of the Rings is our Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Not with those Hobbit movies. Those are pretty good.
The Lord of the Rings is like the right above us. I'm talking. Okay,
no, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the book series. I'm talking. Are we talking the movies or the books?
Both. In terms of the cultural.
The Lord of the Rings came out forever ago.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. That doesn't count. With Lord of the Rings, you have to talk the movies.
No. I didn't realize we're talking the movies. Whatever. Fair enough. Shoot, now I forgot where I was going with this because you. Oh, yeah, no, I think I had it. Nope, I'm not gonna try. I'll come back.
Doc, go ahead.
If you ask me, I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is our generation's Star Wars, mm-hmm. and that World of Warcraft is our generation's Star Trek, based on following and like the amount of time people will dive into that kind of culture. Same way, like Trekkies back in the day, like there was these people that were just giant zealots of the entire franchise. And I think I would say World of Warcraft is probably that now, but they keep to themselves out of the fact, or maybe it's League of Legends, because I have friends that spend thousands of hours.
I don't think I'm not quite sure I can draw the comparison to World of Warcraft and Star Trek.
No.
I don't think we can draw the games, either League or WoW, into
I'm talking
the movie
specifically
verse.
Fan base here. I'm talking
that's
about
what I mean.
No,
well, that's what I mean, because like when Star Trek, you know, when first generation, all that stuff ended, like they didn't immediately branch to WoW. They went to every other sci-fi show. They went to Stargate. They went to you know, on the far end they went to Doctor Who. On the near end they went to, you know,
Stargate is amazing.
Galactica and all that stuff, you know, Firefly, all those shows.
Oh no, I'm not saying that those people like who were into Star Trek shifted over to WoW. I'm talking about like similar to like what Alex brought up is that he was thinking that Harry Potter was our version of like our generation's Star Wars. Like I disagree with that. I think like our version of Star Trek is now taking place. I would actually say more League of Legends now, based on the fact that we're selling out Madison Square Garden for League of Legends.
I'm going to counter that by saying League and WoW are the equivalent of football and soccer, not Star Trek.
I would agree.
Good point.
I would agree. They are specifically esports more than they are geek culture among games.
Yeah. Like, the people who got hyper invested in a culture and a lore. Yeah, there's some of those in WoW. I was one of them for a while for the Alliance.
I was too!
But it's not the same as Star Trek.
Did Alyssa play WoW at any point?
I did!
Yeah, she made it to level 20.
I did!
And then it cost money, so she stopped?
No, she was on my account.
Yeah, Alex stopped paying for it.
Well, I was just saying, because nowadays it's free.
Then I wouldn't let her use my account. Yeah. Because I wanted to play.
I feel like...
What kind of character were you, Alyssa?
I don't remember.
Human mage. I feel like or gnome mage.
No! Yeah, no, it was a human mage.
I was thinking she'd be a gnome just for the funny part of playing a gnome.
I tried.
I feel like Harry Potter is more across multiple, like, you could be super, you don't have to be a super geek.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why Star Wars is my comparison.
Because, like, I don't know what League of Legends is. The only reason I know what WoW is because of Alex, and I tried to play it as a kid. But, like, a lot, like, my boyfriend wouldn't know what it is, but at the same time, certain geeks wouldn't know what, like, some things my boyfriend knows about sports and stuff. So, but, like... Sports.
The problem I have with equating Harry Potter to anything, you know, super geeky is just based on the fact that when we were in elementary school, for instance, they were, like, even the school would be, like, force-feeding us, like, this is good, read this. Like,
yeah.
This it's is so, definitely, it was pop mainstream, geeky, so but pop mainstream culture before, you know, any of us had a choice of whether or not
well, to that's read. That's what Star Wars was, though.
Yeah.
Like, Star Wars was... It was, yeah, it was the mind-blowing, you could talk about it to most people.
Brandon, we've never seen Star Wars, so...
Well, it wasn't a thing where, you know, our parents, who were in high school and college in the early 80s, late 70s, weren't being handed Star Wars books to read in school. And maybe I could be wrong, if anyone their age watches this and corrects me.
Potter's going to be different no matter what, because it's not just a movie series. It's a 7-book series.
Well, that's where I was going to make the adjustment to this, whereas I think it's actually its own entity entirely, because it is the trendsetter for young adult novels being transformed into movies.
That's
if anything, it's a Kickstarter of its own type of beast. Out of the fact that it starts with a young adult audience, and then as the audience gets older, like, we're able to make movies that still have the childish things that make you reminisce and nostalgic for the books, but then start, you know, getting to the darker side and making it for a broad audience as well.
And it's beginning now to get passed down generation now, because, like, my people I nannied for, like, they read it, I read parts of it. I watched the movies, all of them. But, and now...
You read most of the books. You read most of the books.
I've read, like, 3 of them.
I never read the 7th book.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I waited for the movie to come out.
But, now the little girls that I was nannying, the kindergarten, the first and third graders started reading them, and it's like, now you can talk about it to your kids. And, like, when you guys / we start having kids, we're going to do the same. We're going to introduce them to Harry Potter because it's what we grew up with, and it's such a culture. And also, I love now you're seeing all the things of, in a way, we are part of Harry Potter's generation, in like legit the person Harry Potter, because now you're seeing things that J.K. Rowling is sending out about now Potter's kids at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so it's still growing with us, which is really cool.
That'll be the question. It's how long can she extend the story into the next generation? Because, like, you know, part of the reason Star Wars has survived so long is because, as much as, you know, a lot of us pretend we don't like it as much, the original trilogy came out, you've got the new trilogy coming out recently, like, they've taken extra steps every decade or so to reintroduce it to everyone new.
I will argue that as a young adult novel, though, Harry Potter has a lot stronger pass-on value because it is a coming-of-age story.
Mm-hmm, true.
And
Star Wars isn't a coming-of-age story.
It's not the snot in the same way.
No.
Star Wars is George Lucas going through and stealing all the major key points and notes from mythology and being like, yeah, this is the basic arc structure of how all myth is written. I'm going to write a space opera that way.
It's kind of cool, though, because parents now, because it's like, I'm nannying, I was around a lot of parents. It was kind of cool because, anyway, it's cool because parents are doing the thing where, okay, at 11, you're going to read the book where Harry was 11, and like every year they successfully, and so it's like kids are still growing up with him, but they're using it as ways to relate to a child's life and see. And it's like kind of also a role model kind of thing.
I'd also like to point out that Harry Potter doesn't have one thing that Star Wars definitely has, which is the infighting between fans, because between the time of, you know, the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, we have all the extended universe movies. And then it becomes an argument of, like, whether the extended universe can count as canon and if it's going to play into, like, how each one's worked. And now we got the new movies coming out, and now we have this infighting of, like, no, Boba Fett's alive. He got out of the pit, even though...
Don't forget. Yeah. Han shot first, you bastard.
Absolutely. He damn definitely straight. Shot first.
They've edited the movie. They've gone back and changed it, so Han shot second.
I'm so excited.
Oh, there was a really good thread coming out of this, and I completely blanked on it. Somebody.
But
extended universe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. All of this. There's a note in here to talk about nostalgia, but I feel like that's been done to death recently. More interesting. My dad likes to keep sending me stuff about millennials now because he thinks it's funny, and about how to make a podcast. And I haven't watched any of the stuff about how to make a podcast yet, because it's like 30 episodes of a podcast about making podcasts. But he sent me one, and it's been something I've seen poking around a lot on Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter, and it's the conversation about people and cell phones, and how millennials are constantly checked out because we're always on our cell phone. Or, you know, the fake digital, you know, the whole argument of get off your phone, get off your computer, go outside and talk to your friends kind of thing.
I like to say that we are checked into a different world.
Because
we're still communicating and interacting, but we're just in a different world than what, let's say, our parents are used to.
I think it's kind of interesting because it's like now we're so checked in to the internet and everything else like that is that especially from a Twitch standpoint, you know, with the exception of maybe you, Kyle, handful of people from Wazoo, where I went to school, almost all my friends are digital. And for me, it was like, yes, going to TwitchCon was getting to see all my friends that I've made over the last, you know, X amount of months and having an awesome time. But now it's like, oh, go hang out with your friends. Okay, let me get on my computer. You know, it's not the same thing anymore.
I would say I support the opposite argument, or like I'm a case where I like help support the opposite argument out of the fact that when I am a social person, I go out and do all sorts of things, but the problem is like whenever a moment gets awkward or I feel uncomfortable, I feel the need to pull out my phone and check Facebook. Like, and that's where someone can use that. It's like, oh, you're being unhealthy by not interacting with other people in the moment. It's like I'm in a situation where I can be social, but I still feel a need to check my phone and ignore everything else because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. My favorite explanation I've heard about this is our idle motion. You know, like in video games, all the characters who, if you just leave your character standing there, they'll do something. Sometimes they'll flip their sword and kind of like catch their sword. Pulling out your phone and looking at your phone is now your idle motion. Just going, It's what you do when there's nothing else for you to do or your player character. Attention to you.
Watches too, so they do it to check the time, and it just looks like it as well.
Yeah, well, that too.
So that's onto it.
But that's my big like thing, and I think there's a certain argument that people arguing about this invalidate the online friendships when they're like, you don't have any real friends online. It's all just noise. It's like, but that's how I keep in touch with some of my best friends or, you know, how I've gotten to know other people.
We're such a globalized culture now that, like, example for me, I'm thinking about going and studying abroad or living abroad for months and years or who knows what's going to happen or working for companies that are global. But it's like the way that I'll be able to stay connected to my family. Or the way that we are currently connected to our family who are in Chile and Argentina and all over the world. And so it's like globalization has needed to connect, and it's like just our way of connecting. And we talk about this a lot. I'm in a media and social change class, so yeah. We talk about this constantly. And there's such a big debate because there's sides to both stories. It could go either way, and it's like it's a functional approach. It's neither good nor bad. It's how we use it. that can change it, because there are some amazing things that have come out of the internet technology and all that. But at the same time, yes, things, it has changed our culture in like social ways.
Without any doubt. I don't think we could avoid it changing our culture. Everybody has a smartphone in their pocket now.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting point that you brought up about that being our idle motion, and that, and I'm going to go back to TwitchCon one more time, because I'm pulling a lot of good parallels for this. I kind of went at the perfect time, because it's so true to what this conversation is that, you know, a lot of us are broadcasters, so we've got, you know, followings in the thousands, right? Most of us...
Brag about it.
No. Just on Twitch. You leave Twitch, and we're anything else, but you know, it's like any other medium. You're a micro celebrity on that platform, and then you go anywhere else and they're like, who are you? So, but that's not my point. The point is that aside from tweeting at our followings or something like that, like saying, hey, I just met up with this person or taking a picture or something, no one was on their phone when we were all together and hanging out. So it's like, to me, going to technology is specifically to connect with the ones you care about. And if you're around all the people you care about, you're not on your phone. Like,
I mean,
you're truly enjoying the situation.
Another example of that, but like college world, when we did sorority, when I was doing Rush, we weren't allowed to have our phones. But normally you think like, oh my gosh, I can't have my phone for like 5 hours. What am I going to do? But I didn't even notice I didn't have my phone because I was meeting so many people and I was like excited about it and learning new things. And so it's like, we use it when I feel like, I mean, I use my phone at moments when I should be, like, talking to my boyfriend when I'm eating or something. But, like, if we are genuinely invested in the situation, our phone is our last resort. Otherwise.
I need my phone just to run internet right now, because DSL is something created by Satan, and no one has found a way to beat it in my neighborhood yet. So my phone is on the other side of that door, mounted to the window, picking up a signal. So I haven't even used my phone from, like, unless I'm going out somewhere, I don't use my phone.
I noticed.
Well, and it's falling apart, too. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm sorry, but there's no excuse for if I'm holding a phone, if it's ringing, if I have to sit there pressing accept for 10 seconds and it's not taking a call, that's just my phone being dead, practically. Like, it's a glorified modem now. It doesn't do anything else.
Another thing that kind of parallels to this is, like, you see now six-year-olds and stuff with cell phones and all that, and that's unspeakable to us, but now when they grow up, it's not going to be. So it's just, like, that continuous generational move, but it's, like, should that be? That brings in a whole nother question, is, like, what age is too young, or is it just going to become a part of us?
The Pediatrics Association just changed the guidelines about kids and screen time, because they went, it's kind of stupid for us to be able to just say no screens before this age, because they're like, everything's a screen now, we can't really get away with this. Which is, I think, is a huge sign of how things are shifting. But Doc, you've been pretty quiet.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about what you guys were talking about right now, and I think there is like an age that is like way too young to where they should have a phone, and we should actually let people progress and like develop a personality that's outside the phone. Because I know a lot of people that had a phone way too young, and now it's like their phone is mostly part of the personality. Like when they want to share something, it's, oh, look at this meme I found on my phone. Not like having an actual story of some real experience that they can share. They just try and make a conversation of like, oh, look at this post that I found. I think this is funny. Let's talk about something else that someone else created. Where I usually hang out with like other creative people who are like writing music or writing stories or whatever. It's like, oh, I got this cool story, or I got this whatever. And so, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking about, is that a lot of people just kind of use their phone as a crutch a bit too much.
Yeah, there's a great TED Talk from a few years ago that just went, hey, look, we're already all cyborgs. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, actually, because cyborgs was a term in my class, but they're extensions of us. I know. Well, I feel like my teacher should watch this, because it's like...
Found myself thinking for a moment. I was like, you know, if they had some full dive experiment and they were looking for test subjects, I'd just be like, Shit, why not?
As long like Jack into the Matrix?
Like, something like that, as long as I have access to Twitter on the side so I can live tweet it. You know, it's like, as long as I have an access to the virtual communication, I was just like, yeah, I don't care. Like, as long as I'm not shut out from them.
Joey, you should actually... Go. One segment for this podcast is Joey teaching me how to properly use Twitter, because I just started Twitter for the third time, and I'm bad at it. Like, I don't know how to properly gain a following, but I feel like there's certain things I need to learn how to do in order to be entertaining and still be myself on Twitter and gain a following to help support these things that I do, like a podcast or the website.
Have to say one thing right now, and that's that if you're gaining a following on Twitter for the purpose of gaining a following on Twitter, you're doing it wrong. Like, okay, there really isn't a point to gaining a following on Twitter unless it's, you know, for your show or for your or to, like, to grow your little network of friends, like to play games together or something like that. Like, a lot of, you know, a lot of my viewers on Twitch, I will ask them, like, please, if you can, get a Twitter, just because that's how I, you know, I always inform people of what's going on live. Like, I'm not going to have a schedule posted for something, you know, but when it comes to, like, doing it right, if you start talking about the same thing or about the same general subject for long enough and you actually have anything that's funny or clever or anything like that, eventually people will start following you. It doesn't hurt to follow people back, to respond to people you've never heard of before. Generally, people follow, you know, content creators that they're looking for. So as this show gets bigger, if, you know, if we're advertising our Twitter handles, people will start following us based off the show. I mean, that's just how it is. It's a lot harder to go. It's and really, Twitter is the same with any other actual creative medium, like YouTube or anything like that else, is that it's really hard to grow one without the other. You kind of got to grow your whole brand at the same time and just let it pick up. You can't try to get your Twitter huge and then try to use that to divert attention to this, you know, YouTube channel or podcast. It won't work. Like, you'll have a huge drop off.
I'm so proud. I keep thinking of things that I learned in class, and it's like, I learned things that are applicable to life.
Gonna have the, like, your classes are actually applicable to what we're doing.
Wait, are your classes saying basically the same thing I am?
Well, I was more talking about docs. Well, okay, so Doc is suffering from the empowerment divide, meaning he has accessibility to this certain technology, which is Twitter, and he just doesn't know how to use it to further himself.
Okay. Or
so that's called the empowerment divide. But
I thought you were saying that because I thought you were saying, like, the stuff I was saying was in your textbook, because I was going to be like, okay, creepily similar.
I mean, your stuff makes total sense, but...
Yeah. Let's talk about textbooks for a second.
They're way too expensive. They can all be posted on Wikipedia, and everyone could learn off that, and the world would be happy grand.
See, for my macroeconomics class,
you told me this. I love this.
We use a system at Bellevue College, Canvas, which is a online, you know, scheduling and all these other things, so that the teachers have a way to ensure their students always have access to information and they can turn in their assignments.
It's similar to Blackboard.
Well, I think it actually took over from Blackboard for a lot of schools.
There's also Angel.
But my macro class goes, yeah, we don't use that. You need to go to this website, which is, I think, Applia is what it's called, and pay $123 for the semester to have access to the same basic system, except this program makes it so that I don't have to give you hand-generated macro problems. You can just do all of your macro homework online.
Yeah, I hate the fact that, you know, I'll buy a textbook, right? And it'll come with a card or some kind of key or code inside it, where if you didn't buy the textbook, which is like $230, and if you buy it used, it won't have the card because you have to get a new one. This card will cost like $110, and obviously this isn't the card. I'm just a white card I picked up. But it'll be like $110.
Doing a bit of prop comedy.
Exactly. Just to pay for the right to do the homework.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like, You could have worked your ass off doing a job or whatever, making a salary just to pay to be here. But if you want to pass it, you got to pay an extra fee.
Yeah, and my stats.
That to me is bullshit. I'm sorry.
In my stats class, we kind of had the same thing where my teacher was like, you guys don't need the textbook. Like, we're not going to use the textbook, but all the homework's going to come from the problems that come from the textbook. So pay $100-something just so you can do the homework, and I don't want to print it out for you.
As a computer science major, I dodged all these problems, and I'm not sure if it was the same for Ryan in any way, but for me, it was like... We would find one guy who managed to find a download of the textbook for class and then just share it with everybody. Everyone's so online, digital era, yeah.
I was that guy a couple times where, you know, I'll just come out and say it, torrenting. Bad word. Oh no, God forbid, you didn't pay the $300 for this textbook that cost 20 cents to make per copy, you terrible person. But anyway, so, like, I would find either a torrent of the PDF or something like that, and I would just share it to all my friends, like, hey, don't buy the textbook. Like,
now, mind you, any textbook with a card, you still had to pay for.
Or you just pay for the homework access on the website.
Yeah, which is still $100. Like paying
for a third cost. But it's still better than paying $300 for a useless pile of paper.
I will say, Amazon and Amazon Rental
are
amazing. Yeah. But as an anthropology major, never had a textbook. It was, hey, go buy, like, Mourning Dove and this, like, little thin, you know, 100-page book. And I'm like, cool, torrented.
This is my one of my anthropology books. But my teacher created it. He compiled chapters from certain textbooks that he liked and got rights. I don't know how it works. And he's like, yeah, so buy this because it's cheaper than buying the entire textbook when I don't really need the information. So that's nice.
For once you get a teacher who's not selling you their $500 textbook because please, for the love of God, read the textbook I bought or I wrote.
You can go and rate my professor and you'll always find all the 5-star ones are the teachers that go, you know, they have this textbook. I'm just going to release the PDF for free.
My professor.
You get my point. I'm just saying the ones that are rated really high are the ones that gave away the information.
I've had so many professors who rate low. Because they don't grade, they grade hard, and they don't give a shit about you, you know, being a fucking adult.
But that's why you read why they're rated low. See, when I sign up for classes, I went through, because I don't know anybody here. Now I know people, so I'll just talk to people. But it's like I went through, and like one of my teachers, like, she's really hard at grading, but she's super cool, but she's still at a low rating. But I can deal with the hard grading. I just want a teacher that actually cares.
That's where I had a friend of mine who gave me a specific example of, like, why I don't like it anymore, which is a great example. The fact that a guy was basically vilified by a bunch of his students on RateMyProfessor.com and got a super low grade because they're like, oh, he spouts about religious views and the way he teaches literature is just full of his own personal kind of the perspective and everything. And it was a lot about, like, kind of religious slandering about him. They were talking about Dante's Inferno. Like, he even acknowledged, like, a lot of people's like, you got a low rating on Rate My Professor.
How dare you
talk
about Christianity in this book that that is about Christianity? Like, how dare you?
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's where it's like, I always take those reviews with a grain of salt. I actually kind of just went like, I'm going to have to take a plunge and see if this professor's the professor for me.
Yeah, I've never used it.
I have
never had that. I've gone in and been like, I wonder how this professor rated.
See, where I went to school.
One or two professors I hated rated really high because they were like, oh, you get to grade yourself. It's okay.
See, that's when you have to know your learning style. And that's how you...
You get to grade yourself. So I just give myself an A and don't show up to class? Can we just go
Well, I mean,
that?
You're just cheating yourself if you do that.
I just want the degree. I don't care about, you know, the teacher's moral... BS about it.
The teacher's a sacred
class. What is the class? Self-confidence 101?
I went to school to get a job, not to get an education. I'm sorry.
How's that going for you?
I'll let you know in a week.
I'm really excited. Sorry, this is kind of off topic, kind of not. But one of the anthro classes I can take because Joey/Doc, I don't know if you know this. I am thinking about minoring in anthropology, but I gotta possibly take a religion and magic class.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
And magic.
Yeah,
it's
just a
don't
weird,
refer to Christianity as mythology.
Are we going? Is this full circle back to Harry Potter?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm secretly going to Hogwarts learn magic. That's every person's dream.
All right. I forgot to set a timer, but Taylor's telling me we're about somewhere near the 50-minute mark. So yeah. I let this ramble a bit because I forgot to set a timer. Okay. So in the last bit of wrap-up, we'll let Joey, where's your stuff? What can they find? And what kind of crap do you put on the internet?
Well, for the most part, if you're not into Pokemon or Nintendo, you're probably not going to like what I do. But if that didn't scare you away, my my information's, you know, I go by the name, by the alias Jodor, which is just Hodor with the J-O-E instead
of an underscore.
H-O. On Twitch, there's an underscore. On YouTube, it's followed by the word plays, all caps. And Twitter is the same way. So I'm kind of one of those Let's Players.
I got to tell you, Joey, you earned a follower today.
I'm sorry,
and of course, Joe, send me your stuff. We'll put it in the actual show notes.
All right, we'll do.
And I'll do some actual homework and do that responsibly. Alyssa, you said it at the beginning, but where do you say it now?
What?
Where can people find you?
People don't need to find me. I'm on Instagram, but it's all personal. It's like, I don't know. And I don't use my Twitter, so yeah. I'm not really out there.
Yet. Doc?
You can follow me at Doc Von Derwin. Tweets are probably going to get better now since I got some advice from Joey. I'm probably going to be starting up a Twitch stream as well, just out of the fact that I'm thinking about adding it as content to the website, and I if I'm able to create more content, I will. That's just kind of why I would be doing it.
Now that you mention it, I do have a script written up. I'm not done making the video, but I am making a video on how to start your own Twitch stream. So that'll be something to put on the website later once it's done.
Nice. Cool. I would like to see something like that.
Doc, and your Twitter?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, my Twitter, as I said before, at Doc Von Derwin. Pay attention to the site. I'm probably going to have some more articles coming up. I'm trying to just get that motivation to create as much as I can.
I do have a website. I'm a photographer. So if y'all want to check that out, that'd be cool. It's alyssap.com, alyssap.com. So there's some cool stuff on there.
Yeah, she makes me look bad some more. and as always, you can find me at RedBreard on Twitter. I have a writer's page on Facebook under Alexander Pedeta. If you can't spell it, I'm sorry.
P-E-R-I-R-A.
Yeah. And then we have stuff going up at podcastlostinspace.com. Thursdays are going to be an actual blog post, and now Tuesdays are going to be recipes because it gives me time to get a picture up there so we don't have so many recipes going up without delicious food pictures to make you actually interested in the food.
I have a study tips blog entry going to go up soon.
Yep, and this week I think is a one from Doc. It's bodybuilding.
Yes. It might be shifting into something else because, I mean, bodybuilding is pretty specific niche area, so we're kind of converting into something that kind of applies to everybody, more of like how anybody can really get fit, kind of just general tips on proper, you know, eating, working out, doing all that, and it's full of course, humor. I pepper in a lot of pop culture jokes, so it's not just like, follow these rules. It's like, hey, here's, if you want to learn, here you go.
Cool, and then you can find, if you want to follow Pliss Official on Twitter, we'll make sure all these posts get posted on our Twitter account and on our Facebook page,
you
Podcast
too.
Lost in Space. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.
Later. Bye.